You may be seated. For the last 2 weeks, we've been in the middle of a series we're calling Reconstructed. And what we've been doing is we've been taking a look at the deconstruction movement and some of the things that are cited and said to lead people to deconstruction. And what we want to realize as Christ followers, those things should help us reconstruct our faith. And we've been going through this on Sunday morning, and we've been going through this with our students on Sunday night. So James and I have been able to work together on this series. And so in week one, we talked about how man-made systems don't accurately reflect who God is. If we take a look at a man-made system, whatever system that may be, it does not accurately show us truly who God is, but that we need to go to the source, which is God Himself, His Word, to know exactly who He is. And then last week we talked about how it's okay to struggle. It's okay to have doubts and questions, and we're all going to have times in our life where we're going to go through moments where we don't know what's going on, or we're not going to have a question or get the answer that we really want. And it's okay for us to have those moments. And we once again need to go back to the source and look at God's word to learn about who He is. I love basketball. For those of you that don't know, I'm also the girls' varsity basketball coach at Pena High School. And when I was in third grade, my mom and dad signed me up to play Upwards basketball. Some of you may have heard of Upwards as a Christ-centered sports organization. So they have a basketball league. And mom and dad signed me up, and I was hooked from the moment we got to the first practice. And so I have just always loved the game of basketball. And when I was in junior high, my parents signed me up to go to a basketball camp. And it was the first time I'd ever done anything like this. I'd never gone to a camp quite like this. We had to go several hours away from home. And so my dad signs me up. He takes me. He gets me checked in. You know, I was a junior high student, so it's like, you know, so you can drop me off here, right? So helps me get into my dorm and settled. And so dad takes off and heads for home. And on my way over to the sports complex, I slowly started to realize that I was pretty alone. Kids had come back to this camp. They'd been for years, and so they're catching up with friends they had made in previous years. Some were there with their high school and junior high teams. And as the camp started, I just started to feel this overwhelming sense that I was an outsider, that I was all by myself, that I was alone, and that I didn't have any friends, and I was just looking from the outside in. And we all have moments in our life where we feel like this, where we feel like we're alone, or the way I like to say it, we feel like we're the only person in the room. And when we think about this idea of deconstruction and people that deconstruct their faith and questions and doubts they may have, I think this feeling of being alone is something that actually accelerates that process. People are left alone with their questions and their doubts, and they feel like they're the only person in the room. They feel like their world may be falling apart around them, but again, they just feel like there's nobody there that would understand. And as humans, I think we have a tendency to only project the best version of ourselves. And as a student minister, I'm constantly warning our students about the dangers of doing that with social media. Because we know all about our life. We know the best, we know the worst, but we're always constantly comparing our life to the best of someone else. And I think to Sunday mornings when I get to shake hands with a lot of you, as you guys walk in, you guys ask me, how are you this morning? And I say, I'm great. I'm good. Life is wonderful. But if we were all really honest with ourselves, there's many weeks where things are not great, they are not good, and they are not wonderful. And I think a lot of these people maybe walk in these doors looking for answer, and all they see are the perfect church people that in their minds, once again, projecting their full life against somebody else's best, they think that they're the only person in this room that doesn't have it all together. And they can't let people know that or see that. And for others, maybe in their past, they've asked these questions or they've come forward with these doubts, and the response they receive ended up leaving them to where they never wanted to ask a question again. And they just kept everything inside. I think back to when I was in high school, I had a wonderful high school math teacher who had a master's degree in math. And I think the problem with her was that she forgot the rest of us don't have a master's degree in math. And there were many days where some of us would ask questions and it would just be like, well, I don't understand why you don't understand. And so over my high school career, I just slowly decided I'm no longer going to ask a question because I just feel silly when I do ask that question. And for many people, the way they've been responded to, the response they get, makes them keep everything inside. And in the midst of this doubt and these questions, they feel totally alone. And so as the church this morning, what I want to ask is, what are we to do with this? How do we respond as the community of Christ, as the church? How do we respond to these things in people's lives? So if you guys are going to follow along with me, will you guys turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5 this morning? We're going to be in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. In the book of James, the letter of James was written by Jesus' brother who was named James. And James is a leader of the Jerusalem church, and we read about him several times in the New Testament. James is also considered the Proverbs of the New Testament. It is the closest thing to wisdom literature or wisdom writing that we have in the New Testament. And the theme of James's letter is that we need to live out our faith. We need to be doers of the faith, not just hearers of the word. What we hear, we then need to go do. And his letter is filled with practical applications for our faith and what that looks like when we actively live it out. And that's just what really James is focused on in these five chapters he has here. So here, what we're going to be reading, these verses 13 through 20, are his closing words to the church, to the people he's writing this letter to. And so I'm going to read all of them, and then we're going to kind of go back and unpack some of it. So starting at verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So as James is closing here, he kind of goes back and highlights things he's already said. He's highlighting kind of some of the high points of his letter, some of the key themes that he's been writing. And I think his closing words here really are geared towards us and how we can be an effective community of Christ. How can we be a loving community of Christ to the people around us? And he gives a lot of great advice here. He says, if we're suffering, then we should pray. Are you cheerful? Then to praise God. Are you sick? Well, then come together and pray for healing. Practice forgiveness with one another. Confess to one another. Prayer matters. Consider what Elijah did. Look what Elijah did through prayer. If someone wanders from the faith, from the body of Christ, show them what it means to be welcomed back well. And James just really wants to make clear that this is a loving community that is crucial in hardship. And I think is crucial in times of deconstruction and reconstruction. David Platt says it this way in his book, Exalting Jesus and James: the church is one of the God-ordained means God uses to keep us faithful. God is sovereign, and he does the preserving, but he does it through the church looking out for, caring for, and loving one another to keep one another from sin. This is yet another reason we ought to be involved in the lives of others in the church. And that is what we are called to. When we talk about being a community of faith, a community of love, we are called to gather around these people who are struggling, the people that are in this building and outside this building who are struggling with many different issues, that they can come and feel welcomed, a place where people can come and ask for help. And James is challenging us here to be that community that rallies around the people that are hurting, for the people that have questions, for the people that have doubts. And I've been here at TCC for about a year. It was a year. James and I were talking earlier this week, and that is something that I love about our church. In just the short year I've been here, time and time again, I've seen us put our arms around people who are going through so many different struggles, loss, sickness. But I think something else that's important to note here, something that James, I think, is kind of in a roundabout way saying, is James is not calling us to have answers. I think a lot of times we want to fix things. We want to be fixers. We want to try to help people in that way. We want to try to fix it. But in James, our James, Pastor James, there's too many Jameses. Pastor James is going to talk next week about this idea of answers and where we get answers and what we do, but we are not called to have the perfect answer. We are just called to love, to rally around and to be this community and to love them like Christ has loved us, which is to love them unconditionally. You know, my family for the last several months has been going through this journey of deconstruction with somebody that we love very, very dearly, somebody that's very close to us. And this person that we love has, in recent months, come out and said, you know, I believe there's a God, I think there's a God, but that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care about me, and that God is definitely not for me. And as we've been going through this as a family, it's been really, really hard for us. And as we've been going through this, we've had a lot of questions. We haven't understood where this person is in the journey they are going on. And what I've done is over this time, I've caught myself when I'm talking with my wife or Pastor James, I've caught myself saying something, you know, I love this person, but I don't understand. I love this person, but I don't know why they question this or why they have this question. I love this person, but... And if we aren't careful, it quickly sounds like we are putting conditions on our love. I love you, but this thing I just don't understand. And what James is calling us to here about being a true community that loves like Christ is to love unconditionally. And aren't you glad, like I am, that Jesus didn't go up to us and say, you know, I love you, but. I love you, but I'm not going to go to the cross. I love you, but you're not. I don't love you enough to save you. I love you, but I'm not going to go through this. And as we've been in the series, James and I have been talking, that some of you have come up and talked to him, that all of you, all of us know somebody that's going through this, that has left the church or has just turned off to the church in general, doesn't want to hear anything about it, and they're all people that we love very near and dear to us. And what I think James is getting at, when we talk about this community, I believe we are called to love, and with just a quick change of the sentence, changes everything. And the quick change is, you know, I don't understand your question, but I love you. I don't understand your doubt. I don't understand your struggle, but I love you. Because Jesus came in the midst of our brokenness and sin because he loved us. And the sad part of this idea of community, this community we're talking about, and the deconstruction that many people are in the middle of, is some of it's actually caused by the community of the church. Maybe they've asked a question before and the way it was responded to just turned people off the church, or it hurt them. Or they see some of the scandals that are in the news, or they've been hurt by somebody in the church as part of a scandal or something that happened, and there's a term for it, and they say that it's church hurt. And new research has shown that in the last 25 years, 40 million people have left the church. And that's 1 in 7 people, and 10 million of those people, so 25% of them, have identified church hurt as their main reason for leaving. And so as we talk about this idea of being the community, it's also important for us to remember that there are some people that this idea of community is really, really hard. It's not easy. It's not just as simple as going to church. But what I think we also see here from James is that this idea of community is vital in times of struggle. The idea of community is vital. And look at the words that James says starting in verse 13. It says, Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then a little bit later, he says this in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. This community of Christ is vital in our most lowest, hardest, toughest times. If we take a look at the Bible, we see this play out over and over and over again. And what I mean is, if we look at the Bible, Jesus asked his disciples to be with him in the garden in the midst of one of Jesus' hardest moments. In his agonies, he's sweating blood, dreading, getting ready to go to the cross. He wants community. Moses had the support of his brother Aaron. Moses says, Lord, I cannot speak. And God goes, well, here is Aaron. Aaron is going to go with you. And we see this over and over. Paul was encouraged by Timothy, Ruth and Naomi, Elijah and Elisha, David and Nathan. And we could keep going on and on and on. But what I see is, if we come back to God's word like we've been talking about in this series, if we come back to the source, if we come back to the roadmap,
In the highs and lows, the good and bad, in every circumstance, we are called to be a community of love. And we all have a huge part we can play in this community. In the movie version of The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the Ring, there's a scene where Sam and Frodo are on their way up Mount Doom, and Frodo's got the ring, and it's just sapping all the energy out of them, and they finally get to this place where Frodo collapses, unable to go any farther. And Sam and him are sitting there talking, and they're talking about the Shire, where they're from, and Frodo is kind of in this state of despair, and then all of a sudden, Sam picks up Frodo, and he says, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." And while we may not have the perfect answer, and we may not be able to take the weight of someone's question for them off of their shoulders, what we can do as the community is we can then lift them and carry them. And that is what authentic community that James is trying to describe here looks like, is carrying each other in love. As I got ready for this message this week, I read an article written by a lady that actually had gone through a deconstruction process, and she described her faith life as a Jenga tower. And as she was talking in this article, she talked about that one day she had something that came up that made her start to ask a few questions, and so that block of her life, of her religious, her relationship with Jesus was taken out. And a little bit more time went on, and another instance in her life came up to where she needed to remove another block in her faith. And she talks about in this article how she didn't go into this looking to deconstruct her faith. She didn't set out on this journey on purpose. And in fact, she said that most days I tried harder than anything else and spent all my energy in trying to keep the blocks of my faith together. And she said, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how hard I would look, it would keep falling apart. And for many people, this is what deconstruction looks like. They've got their faith relationship, they've got their life of faith, and over time, blocks start getting taken out one by one. And they try so hard to keep it together, they try so hard to keep it intact. And as time goes on, their tower will begin to wobble until one day, the right block is taken out, and it all comes crashing down. And in this moment right here, and she talks about in her articles, where they feel the most alone. They feel like they can't come back to church. They feel like they can't ask questions because they don't even know what their faith looks like because it's gone. And their life comes crashing down and they don't know what to do and they feel like they're alone and they're an outcast. And in this moment, we as the church have the opportunity to say, I know this is hard, I may not understand, but I love you. We will love you through this. And the hardest part, I think, for us is my family's gone through this, like we said, is that we try to have all the answers. My family's wanted to have the answers for this person that's going through this. And I read something this week that kind of made me start thinking, and it says this: we will not draw anyone back to the faith on our own, but only through the working of the Holy Spirit. And so while we may not have the answers and we may not have the perfect answer, in this moment we can be there and walk with them and carry them on their way back to Jesus. This lady goes on in her article to talk about that once the Jenga tower falls, that not all hope is lost. This lady actually rebuilt her faith and now serves as a worship leader. But she does go on to talk about that this rebuilding phase of this life is different for everybody. Some of those blocks that got taken out may never go back in. New blocks may go into different places. The blocks may go in different order, and everybody's rebuilding experience will be different in ways like this. We had students go to CIY, and several of them decided to rededicate their life to Jesus. Half their tower may be rebuilt in a moment, and then they start to fill in the rest of their tower. But for some people, for a lot of people, it's one block at a time for years and years and years. And in the midst of their tower coming down, in the midst of them trying to put the pieces back together, this is where we can show the love of Jesus and love them unconditionally. In the midst of the deconstruction movement, in the midst of the doubt and storms, we are called to come together to be an authentic, loving church community. And this is what I want to leave you guys with. I read this week, and I just think it fits so well with what we're talking about. And it said this: we love the hurting, not because they are a ministry, but because of the love of Christ in us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have just to come and to open your word and the time we have to worship you. And Lord, all of us know somebody that doesn't know Jesus or has left the church or has left the faith or just kind of seems turned off to the faith. And Lord, I just want to ask right now that you would just give us the strength to be this community that James talks about. To be a community that would love, that would be there and walk with others as they go back to Jesus. Lord, it's hard, but we know that you can give us the strength. And Lord, we want to pray for all those people that some of us know personally, that some of us may not know, but there are so many people out there, Lord, that are going through something like this right now. And Lord, we just want to lift them up and pray for them, that you would show them who you are and that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.